morning, class. Well, let's see. The director referred to you as the backward church and to me as an old man. Well, I don't know about the first, but he's getting close to being correct on the second. And I'm learning increasingly that getting older is not for sissies. It really isn't. I'm glad to be here this morning. We had a terrible ice storm in North Carolina. You heard about it and saw something of it on television. We've had several ice storms this year. It's been a terrible winter. Before Christmas, we, in our particular area, were without power for a week. We're talking about in freezing temperatures, below freezing temperatures. So I had the generator going for a week. Thursday morning, the power went out. I left Friday morning now. The power went out, and we were told that it wouldn't be coming back on till about Sunday or Monday. I called the airlines, and they were going to double my price for me to fly today instead of Friday. So I said to Louise Friday morning as she sat by the gas logs trying to keep warm from the propane gas, and like a war zone outside, I said, well, Louise, I have to go to the Bahamas. The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you and give you peace in Jesus' name. Well, it was something like that. Then I gave her an affectionate handshake and left. I felt like a dog. I really did. I almost cried. And I was praying as I was flying down to Miami and then on to North Eleuthera. I was praying, Lord, somehow turn that power on for my wife, who doesn't know how to operate the generator, doesn't know what to do. What would you do? I had to go. Well, when I got to the current, Louise called twice, the second time, saying the power had come on. So, and she told me she loved me. Now, she doesn't say that often, but she said, but if anything happens to you, I am going to marry again. Lord willing, she'll be coming in on the 12th, which is Wednesday week, I believe. But it's good to be here, and thank you for having me. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 52. Now, I trust all of you have gotten a two-page outline on our study for this month, or the better part of the month. Someone else is coming in for the last Sunday. Mark Shelley is scheduled to be here for the last Sunday. When I was invited to come, this was, what, a year ago maybe, I said, well, I could come for the month of March, except the last Sunday. Brother Roddy said, that's great, because someone is coming in for that last Sunday. So, for the four Sundays, including today, in our Sunday school hour, we want to consider the Lord Jesus Christ as he is portrayed in the book of Isaiah, and we are thinking particularly of Isaiah chapter 53. God willing, on Tuesday nights, I am thinking of sharing with you some thoughts about the Savior as the prophet, priest, and king. We'll continue praying about that. But we want to consider in these Sunday school sessions something of the perfect servant from Isaiah chapter 53, but I had you to turn to Isaiah 52, verse 13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle or startle many nations. the kings shall shut their mouths at him. For that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Well, you have before you your outline, and I trust you will use this much prayer and much work. And I do not boast, but much work has gone into reducing what I have reduced to these two pages that will be, I believe, a real help to you in your personal study and devotion of Isaiah chapter 53. Now, as we have pointed out, the book of Isaiah is a prophetic book. It is the book of the sun, as you will see on page 2. It is a prophetic book. It is a picturesque book. We have a number of pictures throughout the book of Isaiah concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. It is indeed a profitable book because it is the Word of God, and a panoramic book for Bible study. And we said that it is a prolonged book in that it contains 66 chapters. Now, we have here that Isaiah has been compared to a miniature Bible. The Bible has 66 books. Isaiah has 66 chapters. The Bible opens with a scene of ruin, and yet, in spite of the ruin, God's remedy is seen. Genesis 3:21. And the Bible closes with a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. All right, Isaiah opens with a scene of ruin, and God's remedy is made known and available. Isaiah 1:18. And Isaiah closes chapter 66 with a new heaven and a new earth wherein righteousness dwells. The Bible is divided into two parts, as you know, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament has 39 books, the New, 27. In the Old Testament, God gradually unfolds the portrait of his son. We believe in progressive revelation. And so God in the Old Testament starts unfolding this portrait of his son. When we come to the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ, God in flesh, is unveiled. He is Emmanuel, God with us. When we think of the New Testament, we see the cross as the center and the base of every operation of divine grace. The Gospels all lead to the cross, where the Lord Jesus Christ, the just, died for us, the unjust. From Acts to Revelation, we read of the Holy Spirit being given, because the Lord Jesus Christ is glorified in heaven. In Isaiah, in the last division of the book, chapters 40 through 66, we have 13 chapters in that last division, 13 chapters leading up to the cross, and we have 13 chapters leading from the cross. And in the middle of the two, we have the cross. That is, we have Isaiah chapter 53. And the cross is the center and base of every operation of divine grace. So right in the middle of this last division of the book, we have chapter 53 and we have the cross. And it's interesting that in the middle of chapter 53 is verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. After the Savior's death and resurrection in chapter 53, is it any wonder that chapter 54 opens with a song? And chapter 55, an invitation is given to come and drink of the water of life. In chapter 53, the rock, our rock, is smitten. And in chapter 55, the water gushes forth. Now, I put here something very interesting that Brother T. Ernest Wilson put down in one of his books. We have 9 lovely titles of our Lord Jesus Christ from the book of Isaiah. 3 at the beginning of the book, 3 in the middle of the book, and 3 at the close of the book of Isaiah. And you can look these over. He is the Savior from the womb of the Virgin Mary. Isaiah 7:14. He's the Son from the bosom of the Father. Chapter 9 and verse 6. He's the shoot or the stem or the root. What am I trying to say? The little shoot. I'm thinking of another word for it. From the stem of Jesse. In the second 3, we have the precious stone for a foundation. Chapter 28 and 16. The shadow of a great rock for shelter. That's chapter 32 and verse 2. And the shepherd for a guide. Chapter 40 and verse 11. And the last 3 titles point to what he is to the Father. The servant in whom is all the Father's delight. The sacrifice to satisfy divine justice. And the sovereign to bring heaven's rule to earth. Isaiah is indeed a fascinating book, and I trust you will take the time. You won't find it, but I trust you will take the time to reread and to meditate on Isaiah 53 today and this week. Now, in Isaiah, we have 7 fundamental truths that revolve around the person of Christ. I don't think I put these on the outline, but 7 fundamental truths. We have the deity of Christ. This is in chapter 6. We have the deity of Christ. Chapter 7, verse 14 and 9 and 6, we have his virgin birth. chapter 42, verses 1 through 3, his virtuous life. Chapter 52, verse 13 through 53:10, his vicarious death. And chapter 53, verses 11 and 12, his victorious resurrection. And chapter 61, verses 1 through 4, we have his glorious message from the throne, and then from chapter 63 through 66, his coming again to earth to set up his kingdom. He is God's servant, Savior, shoot, stone, shelter, shepherd, sacrifice, son, and sovereign. Hallelujah! What a Savior. I want you to look at page 2. We pointed out that Isaiah is preeminently the prophet of the Son. Nowhere else is the person, the ministry, the death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ set forth prophetically in such length. So Isaiah is the prophet of the Son. Jeremiah, and we're not considering Jeremiah in our study, but Jeremiah is the prophet of the Father. Ezekiel is the prophet of the Spirit. The Spirit is referred to in the book of Ezekiel more than any other in the Old Testament. So we're thinking of Isaiah, and we're thinking of the perfect servant, God's perfect servant, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Note on page 2 the subject of the chapter. It speaks about a person. Now, there is only one person who fits the description, and we'll enlarge upon this, but there is only one person who fits this description. And this person is no ordinary person. He is a unique person. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is true that sometimes the term "my servant" is applied to the nation of Israel. I have read from some Jewish writers, that is Jewish believers of yesteryear, and they point out, and I'm thinking particularly of David Barron, who points out that years ago, a number of rabbis, in putting down their thoughts of Isaiah chapter 53, said that this speaks of the Messiah. Well, then, in later years, and more of the Jewish leaders began to realize that because so many people were putting Christ here, that they began to change their thinking and said, no, this doesn't apply to the Messiah. Isaiah chapter 53 applies to the nation of Israel. And the reasoning of some was that Israel is spoken of by God as my servant. Well, that's true. And I've given at least one reference here. There are more where the nation of Israel is referred to by God as my servant. But I'll give you a verse in just a minute that I think will end the argument that God is not speaking of the nation of Israel in chapter 53. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who fills this description. And I have here a number of references, that is from the New Testament, that make it clear that Isaiah was writing about the Lord Jesus Christ. All the gospel writers point out that it was Jesus Christ that is spoken of. And in the book of Acts, Dr. Luke records about Philip the evangelist, remember, going to the Ethiopian eunuch. And he was reading from Isaiah 53. And this man from Northern Africa wanted to know who was being spoken of here. Who is this one that is led as a lamb to the slaughter? And Philip began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. So the gospel writers say that it was Christ. Luke, in writing Acts, says it was Christ. John, in chapter 12, said that Isaiah was speaking about Christ. So the Lord Jesus Christ is the subject of this chapter. The structure of the chapter. Now, you will observe that there are 15 verses. Now, in saying that, I'm including the three verses, the last three verses of chapter 52. And I'll tell you why we do that in just a minute or two. So, we have 15 verses in this passage. And these fall into five divisions of three verses each. And you'll see how I have listed them at the bottom of the page, on page 2. In chapter 52, verses 13 through 15, we have God's supreme servant. I struggle for a word beginning with S. And after looking at the dictionary and the book on synonyms and anonyms and so on, I finally decided it has to be supreme. Christ is God's supreme servant. And in chapter 52, the last three verses, we have a review. Because actually, the last three verses of Isaiah 52 give to us a synopsis, or a review, if you please, of chapter 53. So, in the first three verses, going back to chapter 52, verses 13 through 15, Jehovah speaks about his perfect servant. And then in the second part, that is coming on into Isaiah 53, as it is divided in our Bible, repentant Israel speaks. Some of you Bible students know that we're living in the church age. We're living in a time, it's known as the dispensation of grace, or the church age. It is a time when God has put aside his dealings with the nation of Israel. Now, some professing Christians would have us to believe that God is through with the Jewish people. Nonsense. He is not through with the Jewish people. God has put aside his dealings with the Jewish people. And we're living in the church age. The gospel message goes out, whosoever will may come. Jew and Gentile, red, yellow, black, and white, all who receive Jesus Christ as Savior become part of the church. We are members of the body of Christ, the church of the living God. Now, when this church age is over, the rapture will take place. We believers will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And God is going to take up his dealings with the Jewish people once again. It's going to be a terrible time for the nation of Israel during the tribulation period. And the Bible speaks of those who endure to the end. The same shall be saved. That is, at the end of the tribulation, a remnant of the Jewish nation will be saved and go into the millennial reign of Christ, pictured in the days of Noah, with Noah and his family coming through the flood and going into the new world. There will be a remnant of Jewish people. And the Jewish people as a nation will look upon Christ. What will be their confession? Well, Isaiah chapter 53 is the penitential confession of the nation of Israel in a coming day. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And it will be our confession as well. It is our confession. So in this second part, repentant Israel speaks, verses 1 through 3. And then in the third part, believing sinners, both Israel and the Gentiles, speak, expressing our faith, verses 4 through 6. And then in verses 7 through 9, the prophet speaks. And then in the last three verses, Jehovah speaks once again, summing up the overall picture. Isaiah chapter 53 is indeed a picture of contrasts. A picture of contrasts. We read of one who is very high, and yet who is very low. He is exalted, as we see in chapter 52, those last three verses. He is exalted, and yet coming on into 53, he's made very low. What a contrast. The one who in a past eternity always commanded, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. This one who is the creator behind all creation, the designer behind all design, the one who is the supreme fact and factor of the universe, this one by whom all things were made, the one who is before all things, the one who spoke the worlds into existence, the one who now holds the highest station, exalted to the highest position, the one who ruled and reigned from eternity past, took upon him human form, the form of a servant, and was obedient even to the death of the cross. What a contrast. From the place of worship to the place of wrath. From the place of dignity to the place of degradation. From exaltation to humiliation. From commendation to condemnation, from the honors of heaven to the horrors of Calvary, from glory to the grave. What a contrast. This one of whom we read was sold, slandered, spat upon, scourged, and slain. Very high, and yet made very low. What a contrast. And yet another contrast is from the love of God to the hatred of men. Look at the first verse of chapter 53. Now it says, it sounds like I'm speaking contradictory here to say that the last three verses of chapter 52 belongs to chapter 53. And yet I refer to chapter 53 in verse 1. Well, I'll enlarge upon that in just a little bit. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Now, the wording in the Hebrew is, the arm of the Lord is made bare. You know, I can sit down to the computer. Now, I'm saying that to impress you that I know all about it. I'm really intimidated by it. But I sit down to the computer, and I start typing. And I can accomplish a great deal of work, as I did yesterday in the office most of the day, working on your computer over here, giving you this outline. No applause, please. It's your paper. But I can sit down to the computer and I can do a lot of work. I can accomplish a lot of work by using these fingers. I used to engrave printing plates. I was a hand engraver for a number of years, and I used to use my tools to make plates. just my fingers, just my hands. I can accomplish a lot of work. But now when it comes to doing a hard work, I'm building a deck, and I've put up all my 2x10s, 16 feet long, all my 6x6s, all by myself, believe it or not. I should have brought some pictures. But now, when I do some heavy work, I'll roll up my sleeves. Not in freezing weather, but you understand. I'll roll up my sleeves. I'll make bare my arms. I can do a lot of work with my fingers, but now I'm going to do a great work. I'm going to do a heavy work, we might say. And so I'm going to roll up my sleeves. I'm going to make bare my arm. Well, that's the thought. God has made bare his arm, which speaks of the love of God. But his creatures have made bare their evil hearts, because the one whom God sends is despised and rejected. So what a contrast from the love of God to the hatred of men. And in this chapter, as I said, we have a number of negatives. A number of negatives. Repentant Israel in a coming day will say, we were wrong. We were wrong. He is the Messiah. And what they will confess at the end of the tribulation period, we believers now confess that we were wrong. Our hearing was wrong. The prophet says, who hath believed our report? Who hath believed our report? Unbelief. And this is our confession. Our hearing was wrong. Our sight was wrong. There is no beauty in him that we should desire him. Our art was wrong. He hath no form nor comeliness. There is no beauty in him that we should desire him. Our estimate of him was wrong. We esteemed him not. Our theology was wrong, verse 4. We did not see that, and we would not believe that he died for us. In verse 6, our philosophy was wrong. It's my way. Not God's way. All we like sheep have gone astray. I'll do what I want to do. Our philosophy was wrong. Our justice was wrong. He was taken from prison and from judgment. He was cut off. And the burial that men were going to give him was wrong. They appointed his grave with the wicked, but was with the rich in his death. So God so loved, men so hated. He was cut off. And speaking of negatives, I jotted down a number of words that are found in Isaiah 53. Now listen to these words. You talk about going from the place of honor and glory to Calvary. Listen to these negative words from Isaiah 53. Dry ground, no form, nor comeliness, no beauty, no desire, despised, rejected, man of sorrows, grief, griefs, esteemed not, stricken, smitten of God, afflicted, wounded, transgressions, bruised, iniquities, chastisement, stripes, astray, oppressed, slaughter, dumb, prison, judgment, cut off, grave, wicked, death, violence, deceit, bruise, sin, travail, spoil, transgressors. Interesting, isn't it? And he was subject to his creatures who heaped upon him all disgrace. Isaiah chapter 53 has been spoken of as the golden passional of the Old Testament. It was Polycarp who said that. And it was Augustine. Some pronounce his name as Augustine, but we don't call the place back in Florida St. Augustine. It was Augustine who said, "Methinks Isaiah writes not a prophecy, but a gospel." And it was one German scholar who said, "It looks as if Isaiah 53 had been written beneath the cross of Golgotha and was illuminated by heavenly brightness." God says, "Behold my servant," in chapter 52 and verse 13. Now, I will tell you why. I'll give you one verse that will tell you why this is not the nation of Israel, as some Jewish teachers would have us to believe. I want you to turn to chapter 1 of Isaiah, chapter 1, Isaiah chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Now, consider what God says about his nation in these verses. "The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful people, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evil doers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward." Now, when it comes to this servant, and we read, "Neither was any deceit in his mouth," could that be the nation of Israel? You say, absolutely not. Well, I'm just part of the way through lesson one, but our time is gone, and I'm not going to transgress. So you take the outline, and you read it, meditate upon it, and we'll pick up right here, Lord willing, next Sunday morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank thee for loving us, sinners, condemned, unclean. And yet you loved us so much that you gave your well-beloved Son, who willingly gave himself. He took upon him the form of a servant and was obedient unto death, and that the death of the cross. We thank thee for him, for all that he is to thee, and all that he is to us, for his death, burial, resurrection, his high priestly ministry, his endless life. And I pray, Father, that we will have a greater appreciation for who thou art and for thy well-beloved Son. And it will be the case as we allow the Holy Spirit of God to have his way. May we meditate upon the Savior today and every day. Dismiss us with thy blessings, we pray in the Savior's name. Amen.